Hi, this is Jill Schlesinger, CBS News business analyst, certified financial planner, and the host of the Jill on Money podcast. Beginning, middle, or end of the year, it's always a great time to take control of your financial life. And the Jill on Money podcast is here to help. Your questions make it possible for me to provide unconventional and entertaining insights on your money and, more importantly, on your life. Follow and listen to Jill on Money wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Great to be with you. I'm Bart Winkler. Carlos Ortiz alongside Marco Belletti here as well. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. About the end of hour two, I detailed what happened with the New York Yankees this weekend. They had a bunch of home runs, 15 in one series. Nine of those hit by five different guys who used what is being called the torpedo bat, where the bat is just built different. If you think of a bat, it's skinny and then gets thicker as it goes. This bat is skinny and then gets thicker and then goes kind of skinnier again. Looks like a bowling pin. That's what they were calling it at first, and now torpedo bat is catching on. That's fine. But the Yankees used it. They're the ones that came up with this. They put a lot of research into this. It's still all within the rules of what Major League Baseball says a bat needs to be. If the Yankees continue to dominate, would baseball be like, okay, we do need to tweak the rules? Or would they say, no, that's the rule, and they figure it out a different way? It's about winning on the margins. It's about perfecting different things. It's about looking for different angles. Pitchers are working on new pitches all the time. You know, a long time ago, defensively, teams figured out, well, let's put one more guy over there. Let's put another guy in the infield. Let's shift. Let's shift our infield. And then eventually they change that. I think we're a long way from that happening with this, if it happens at all. So coming into today, it was the Yankees in a kind of exclusively Yankees story. All right, well, somebody else decided to use one of these bats tonight. Ellie De La Cruz of the Cincinnati Reds used it in batting practice, which was the first time he's ever used it. And then tonight, he was 4 for 5 with 2 home runs, 7 RBI, and he scored 4 times. They asked him if he was going to use it again. He laughed as, of course I'm going to use it again. And he said, it just helps me feel like I'm in more control. So there's different players now that are starting to use this throughout the league. Adley Rutschman is using one. The Cubs have a couple of guys.
Nico Horner off the top of my head.
Nico Horner, Dansby Swanson, I think, is using one.
He needs all the help he can get.
Now, how did they do tonight? Swanson was 2 for 5.
Yeah.
Game's not over. Horner was 3 for 4. All right, so these are working. Cubs are currently up 17-3 over just the Athletics. And they're playing in Sacramento, where they're having a hell of a time.
Oh,
they just stopped the game for a drone delay in Sacramento.
What?
Mm-hmm.
I figured it would stop the game for all the sell the team chants, which is crazy because Sacramento's not even the home city.
That's happening in Sacramento?
Yes, that actually was up. I saw on a social media platform of your choice that they're already sell the team chants with how bad the Athletics are playing.
Well, and two, like, it's just in Sacramento for a few years. And so, why, like, if you're a Sacramento fan, I don't know. Are you, like, getting up for this team? Or who's coming? Is it A's fans coming up? You know, to try to, like, Oakland fans coming up to try to be like, hey, screw this guy? Interesting. The whole interesting. You had Tampa Bay playing in their spring training facility. That's actually the Yankees spring training facility. And now Oakland playing in Sacramento now and not Oakland anymore. And I'm going to have to remember not to say that. Last hour, we looked at the over-under totals that came out last week in the AFC. We'll do the same in the NFC. Got some guests what they said coming up as well. And then a little bit more on the disaster of that game in Sacramento here tonight. All right, the NFC East. Last year, the Philadelphia Eagles had a win total of 10.5. They finished with 14. This year, it's 11.5. The Commanders had a win total of 7.5. They finished with 12. So they are up to 10.5. The Cowboys was 10. They had 7. They're at 8.5. And the Giants was 6.5. They finished with 3. I was all over that under, but right now it's 5.5. So the Eagles are 11.5 wins. Commanders, 10.5 wins. Cowboys, 8.5 wins. Giants, 5.5 wins. I guess it depends on what you think the Cowboys are going to be. I mean, with a healthy Dak Prescott, they won 7 games with him basically on the shelf for 2 months. I kind of want to lean there, even with the first-year head coach. None of these other ones seem like that remarkable to me. The Eagles, 11.5, seems... I think a lot of people are going to look at Commanders at 10.5 and say they can't do that again, but they can, I think. I think they're going to have a better team than they did a year ago, just by the nature of they're building a better roster. They play the NFC North. They play the AFC West. I don't think I like any of these or have a strong opinion on any of them. Maybe I'm stupid and take Cowboys over 8.5, but that would be it for me.
Yeah, I'm not touching the Eagles or the Commanders. It's really hard to see, you know, where they're going to go, 11.5, 10.5, respectively. I actually think this is a really grueling schedule for the NFC East as a division as a whole. Now, if you would have asked me last week, the Giants 5.5, I would have slammed and hammered the under no problem, because the Giants have an absolute brutal schedule. I keep saying it's the worst one in the NFL. They got the Vikings, Chiefs, Chargers, Niners. The only thing that helps is that those games are at home. But then they got to go to Denver, Vegas, the Patriots, the Saints. Well, the Saints stink, but they got a tough schedule. Oh, and they play in Detroit. And they don't do well in Chicago. They're playing the Bears area. And so this is not an easy schedule for the Giants. But I actually do think Russell Wilson and even Jameis Winston, I think this brings them some stability to the quarterback position.
Yeah, 5.5. You can win more than 5.5 games.
You're going to sweat it out. It's going to be six wins. They're going to win 6 games. I remember I was clowning the Patriots from going from 4.5 to 8 or 7.5, whatever the case may be. Like, I can't imagine how the Patriots are going to double from 4 to 8. The Giants, I can see that they're going to go from 3 to 6. That one's more believable, especially since the Chiefs are not going to make the playoffs. So that's a win right there. Pencil the Giants for 6 wins. That's the only one I'd feel comfortable with. The rest of the division you can't touch.
I've been talking about the NFC North and how they're going to be down because they have a tougher schedule, specifically the AFC North. They're going to play the AFC or the NFC East. Last year they played the AFC South and the NFC West, and you know, there were some down teams in there. So they're not playing the greatest conferences in the league, but they're playing much better divisions for sure. That's already kind of been factored in. The Lions, their opening win total last year was 10.5, and they finished with 15. This year it's back to 10.5. The Packers was 10. They had 11. This year it's 9.5. The Bears was 8.5. They only finished with 5, but we're back to 8.5. The Vikings was 6.5. They won 14 games. Now they're back down to 8.5. I mean, so the NFC North, I think, is really tough. I have no idea how this division is going to play out. I mean, I think the Lions win it again, but I also think the Lions, what I've been saying is I think that they peaked already, and I don't see postseason success. I think they're just going to be one of those teams. The Packers, 9.5, I feel like they can win 10. The Bears, I've been thinking Bears over the total for years now, and they never do it. And now we're back to 8.5. I know everybody in Chicago is going to take that. I still might be thinking 8. And then the Vikings, 8.5. I mean, J.J. McCarthy would have to be pretty bad. That's a good team around them. So I kind of like Green Bay to get 10 and Minnesota to at least get 9. Chicago, 8?
Yeah. As a division as a whole, I'm not touching this one. All of these lines stink. That's the analysis.
No, that's good analysis.
I mean, what do you want from me?
I needed 30 more seconds because my headphone cord is stuck on my chair.
Well, allow me to oblige. I mean, the Packers, the problem with them is just they were just so young last year. Going a season further with experience, it's going to help them. But you're right, the division overall, I think it's going to regress a little bit. Now, as I was complaining about that, this is going to be tough for the Giants to face the NFC North and the AFC West. Conceivably, both divisions could be going backwards, but they were both so good. Well, not the AFC West, but the NFC North was so good last year that regression's only... Of course you can expect it. Minnesota winning 14 games, Detroit winning as many games as they did, the Packers were in the playoffs, the Bears, well, they were being the Bears, but I actually do think they're going to get the over 8.5, although you're going to have to sweat that one out. I think it's going to be a 9-win team. They got so much talent. I refuse to believe that Caleb stinks. He is not another Trevor Lawrence in the making. Trevor Lawrence, I believe, is not a great quarterback. Caleb Williams, I think, has a lot of promise. The problem was coaching. They needed to fire Eberflus from Jump Street. They needed to bring an offensive mind to pair him for the first season so they don't have this carryover where it's 1 year of, I'm going to get fired. And then he does get banged in the middle of the season. So you got to scrap and do everything over again. So this is going to be like a true reset year for Caleb. I think they're going to handle him with a little bit more of unleash the attack. The only thing is, they needed an offensive line, and they have that now. So the Bears total, I think I would go over with. The rest of it, I'm not touching, though, because I think Minnesota's going to be good, but that's why the bookmakers get their money, because 8.5, that's a tough sell one way or the other. You could justify both of those easily. And Detroit might have peaked, but they could still win 11 games.
So oh, sure.
If you're going to bet the over on that, it's like you're going to be sweating it out all year. So this is a division overall. I'm just flat out not touching it.
NFC South, you've got, it's not great. Nobody's got double-digit win total projections.
This one you could skip.
Well, the Buccaneers are 9.5. They had 10 last year. Atlanta's 7.5. They had 8 last year. Carolina's 6.5. They won 5 games last year. Saints are 5.5. They won 5 games last year. I feel like, well, who's going to win the division? Tampa, I think, is going to be good again.
Yeah.
But I think Atlanta's better than 7.5 wins. Again, I'm a big believer in Michael Penix. I had Caleb as QB1. I had Penix as QB2. Now, Jaden Daniels and Bo Nix played better than both of them. Mm-hmm. So what do I know? But I got to think Atlanta wins more than 7.5 games.
Yeah, here's the sneaky one for me. I think Carolina at 6.5 is a little too low.
Well, maybe.
Bryce Young, they showed a lot of promise in Carolina. They were fighting hard at the second half of that season. Now, they didn't win a lot of games, obviously. But, you know, another year with Dave Canales at the helm. Bryce Young, maybe he now has a lot more confidence than he did last year. I think they could squeeze out 7 wins. Now, again, am I going to take this to the bank? Absolutely not. I probably would fade this entire division as well, because when has the NFC South ever been good? But I might actually have 3 teams that I would go over with. It's the Bucs, the Falcons, and the Panthers, because the Saints are going to be absolutely putrid. That's one where you can easily see the Saints picking in the top 3.
5.5? They're not getting 5.5?
They're not getting 4 wins. Dude, that roster is brutal.
I like that.
It's not top heavy. Because who are their stars? Alvin Kamara is making a boatload of money, sure, as a running back, but he's really the only weapon that you're afraid of. Derek Carr's not going to beat you anymore. You could stack 8 in a box. The Saints aren't going to be able to score. And I don't even know who they have on defense anymore. They traded away Marshawn Lattimore to the Commanders, even though Washington fans don't like that. The Saints are going to be bad. They can't get any better because they don't have any room to spend money and add players. The Saints, that's going to be a 2-3 win team.
49ers had 6 wins last year. They're projected at 10.5. Rams had 10. They're projected at 9.5. Cardinals had 8, 8.5. Seahawks had 10, and they're projected at 8.5. So conceivably, there could be a lot of these teams, at least in the playoff race. I'm 10.5 for the 49ers. Look, I think they'll be better than last year, and they could win the division. Of all the last place teams, they're the most likely to win the division in 2025. I just can't, in good faith, think that they're going to win 11 of their 17 games.
Yeah, we might have been beating the drum on it, and we got out way too early. We could have went with that 49ers ban. Neither of us thought they were going to be that bad, but we both knew they weren't going to be that good. They could win this division with 10 wins. Everybody can conceivably go under. The Rams are a little bit tricky because I do like Puka Nacua finally being wide receiver one. They brought back Matt Stafford, but it's the same team essentially. So they're just good enough to get there. The Cardinals don't know who they are. I thought they would take a step forward. They're just there. The Seahawks, they got Sam Darnold, but does he replicate what he did last year with Minnesota? Who knows? This is might be the most, even though we talked about the NFC South being up, you know, kind of top to bottom of regular division, the West could be the NFC meh. It's totally a 500 division. The 49ers, what's their biggest offseason acquisition? Because for me, it's been all of the departures. And it seems like unless they get rid of Ayuk tomorrow, it seems that this is it. Ayuk's going to be the number one guy.
Yeah.
He's going to get that roster bonus because if he's there tomorrow, they have to pay him. So he's not going to get traded at this point. So if they lose Ayuk and it's just CMC and Brock Purdy, dude, 10 wins, you'll be lucky if you get that. But, you know, the division overall is not scary. So 10 wins, that's the perfect number. And this is why Vegas, they're out to make money. They're not out to lose it.
So it's going to be interesting to see how things play out. 11.5 seems to be the highest across the league. You've got that for the Eagles. You've got that for the Chiefs, which I just think is too high for them.
Seriously.
The Bills and the Ravens come in at 11.5 as well. 888-710-4ISN. We've got some Guess What They Said coming up. Tonight, first, let's guess what Brent in Myrtle Beach has to say. Hey, Brent.
Hey, buddy. I had a professor in college, and you brought up Kim Mulkey during the bulletin blitz.
Oh, yeah, like yesterday. Yep.
No. But she was her teammate growing up.
And oh, back in the day.
Back in the day at La Tech. And she said even back then, like, people did not like her. Like, she was definitely one of the better players on the team, but her teammates didn't want her to be a captain of the team. Like, she's just, like, super intense, high achiever type. And I guess, like, the biggest comp I can think of is probably the Connecticut guy, Hurley.
Oh, just yeah, imagine, that's like, a good one.
Just imagine, like, Dan Hurley, but, like, really into fashion stuff, too.
Well, here's the thing with Mulkey and my issue. I don't understand, and maybe it's not for me to understand, but these outfits and the theatrics and the always being angry, like, I don't understand. Sure, she wins. She's won a few times. Is it worth it? Is it? She just seems like she hates Kim Mulkey.
Yeah, I mean, does it go back to the idea of that even bad press is good press? Because I'm not, like, super into, like, women's basketball, but I also probably can't name five head coaches off the top of my head.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. So I mean, it is a way for her to get out there.
Yeah. Is that important enough for the school? Because, like, I was trying to, before I got on the phone with you, I was like, I don't even remember Caitlin Clark's coach's name at Iowa.
I'm going to get, was her name Jill?
She retired right after she left, and then I, like, forgot her name, but, like, so few college basketball
programs. Oh, Lisa
programs.
Bluter.
Right, okay. But yeah. There's so few, like, women's programs where you actually, like, have name recognition.
And she signed a contract through 2029, so I don't know where you got this retiring from.
The Iowa coach?
Yeah.
No, I remember a story last year she was retiring.
And then I mean, retiring means signing through 2029.
She must have reversed course then.
Oh, no, you're right. She retired. I'm stupid. I was testing you. I was testing you.
Oh, okay.
I was testing you.
You just read the wrong information that Carlos sent to you.
Again, it's April Fool's Day. I must have read. I read an April Fool's.
Does he ever do that? It's like, it's Ron Burgundy. He'll read whatever's on the cue cards.
I don't read cue cards. I don't even know how to say them. Brent, I got to let you go. Good to talk to you.
You too, bud.
I got April fooled, I think. Does that count? If I just see wrong information, does that count as an April Fool?
Hey, Bart.
All right. Guess what they said is coming up. It is the Bart Winkler Show.
Welcome to Radio Rental. The scariest stories you've ever heard in your life. All told by real people. And off we go.
This wasn't a human being that I saw. There's something here in this house. Something not of this world.
There was a woman moving through the hall. I stepped back and I was completely alone.
Radio Rental is available now. Listen for free on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast. Here at the Bart Winkler Show, we give you hot takes, hot mics, and hot guesses.
It really doesn't matter what you say. And I'm hoping that nobody on our team is playing for you.
It's the audio of the day you need and the transcript you don't.
I'm not laughing about it. You think this is funny? I take this serious.
I'm real serious.
I put my heart and soul into this every single week.
The contestants are ready.
You play to win the game. Hello?
The Bart Winkler Show proudly presents Guess What They Said.
Listen, we're talking about practice. Not a game. We're talking about practice.
Here is tonight's host, Carlos with a K.
I'm a man. I'm 40.
Guess what they said every Monday and Friday here on the Bart Winkler Show on L Infinity Sports Network. I don't know how to say it in Spanish, so I just threw the word L in front of it, and now you believe me. Guess What They Said is the game that's sweeping the nation. One stereo at a time. I will set up clips for Bart. You will guess what they said, and then he will be fairly graded on the accuracy of those translations. And let's start here, Bart, with Mike Tomlin, head coach of the Pittsburgh Steelers. He provides an Aaron Rodgers update because we are all subjected to Aaron Rodgers watch for the entire summer. It's 24 seconds long. Guess what Mike Tomlin had to say about Aaron Rodgers.
Red Deportiva Infinita.
That's how you say it. Okay. If you're like, who is that voice? That's my wife. I'm just kidding. What did Mike Tomlin have to say about Aaron Rodgers?
Si, senor. Mm. That's actual Spanish.
Yeah. Yeah, he came here. We had a good meeting. He talked a lot about football. Talked a lot about just get to know each other as men. You know, we don't need a decision right now. We're just we respect each other. It's up to Aaron what Aaron wants to do. We're here. We just want to have a conversation. Sometimes it's nice just to cut through and have a conversation. And that's what we did. We respect Aaron. Aaron.
Do you think Mike Tomlin sounds like that?
Yeah, I kind of do. I don't think that was that bad.
All right, here's what he actually said and sounded like.
He's a free agent. As you guys know, he came to visit last Friday. We had a really productive day. He's been in this thing a long time. I've been in this thing a long time. But it's no substitute for, you know, intimacy and spending time together and getting to know one another in a non-competitive environment. And so that was really good. But I don't have any new updates in terms of where the process is. We'll see where it leads us.
Bart.
I think I got it. I don't really know. I haven't played this game in a week. I'm not in a fiery mood. So if you don't give it to me, I guess that will just motivate me to try harder on the next one.
All right, because I'm gonna do something that I haven't done in a long time. It actually might be the only second time that I do this. I'm gonna give you half a point. I hope that registered clearly. Let's just in case. Say half a bell.
What do I, if I get half a bell, I should get that. Don't you round up?
Well, you're no, no, because it's actually 0.499999. So if I round it up, it'd be 50. So it is exactly half a point. So I had the official grade.
But we just did all these over unders, and the half gets it. I can't win on a half. Now I still need three more right.
You need to get three out of four, or maybe there'll be some more fractional points. Who knows?
Oh my God!
It's very possible this could be a very analytical. Guess what they said?
I would think we got to veto fractional points.
I'm sorry. Once the game has commenced, we have to play with the rules that are already set up for that particular segment.
All right, house rules.
At least for the next 5 minutes. All right, here is head coach for the Jets, the Nye Jets, that is, Aaron Glenn. And he talks about his Jets flying under the radar. Now, this is 18 seconds long. I want you to guess what he said about his team and the, I guess, lack of media buzz around them. Question mark. I am Ron Burgundy.
It's not by accident. That's what we want. We want to make sure that we keep things in house. We got a team here. We're trying to, you know, do the best of our abilities, and we got things we're trying to work on. And it doesn't. Not everything needs to be public, and we'll let you know when we need you to know. I don't know.
I want to move in silence, man, and listen, just go about our business to go win some games, because you don't win in the offseason anyway. You know, I mean, I know everybody has these grades on free agency grades. They have grades on draft grades. And when you go back and look at them, they don't really mean crap, you know. So the only thing that makes a difference is what you do during the season.
Aaron Glenn's a little harder to figure out than for some of these football coaches. I mean, he's like almost too transparent, and I kind of like it.
See, now I am upset.
Good. Get fired up.
Because if I got a half a point on Tomlin, I should get a half a point on Glenn.
Where did you think you got half a point of correct answers?
Right in the beginning with operating in silence.
But you didn't say that.
But I said I say it's not by accident. We try to keep things close to the vest or something.
I'll take it under advisement. So right now you are a half point out of how many? We were two answers. So this fractional thing, you're right. We're gonna have to toss it out soon. Here is Browns head coach Kevin Stefanski. I want you to guess what he said about what he loves most about Shedeur Sanders. It's very presumptive of him to think that Cam Ward is going number one overall to Tennessee, but yeah, he thinks Cam Ward's going to Tennessee. So here's 29 seconds of Kevin Stefanski talking about Shedeur Sanders. Please guess appropriately.
Just the playmaking, his ability to keep a play going, you know, his athleticism. He's a determined guy. He's a good leader. He's somebody that, you know, can keep the play going and make plays and do it with his arms, legs if he has to. He's just a pure athlete. He's somebody that, you know, you'd love to have at that position. That's not 29 seconds, but we'll see if I get the gist.
He's an extremely talented football player. Again, getting to know the kid, you watch the tape, and I think the important part as an evaluator is you want to talk to the player about plays and how he plays, and I think he sees the game really, really well, has been raised the right way. I think they've done an outstanding job bringing him along in terms of understanding football. But he's a very, very talented young man. But off the field is where I'm probably most impressed.
Now, I was inclined to give you the buzzer. So I'm going to give you a half a buzzer. So that gets you a grand total of 1 point out of three. So again, Bart had half a buzzer earlier. Or rather, half a bell. And now he gets half a buzzer. So if you add that up together, that's one full point. You're 1-3, which means you need the next two.
Okay, but can we be in agreement we're done with the halfies?
That's the reason I'm giving you half a buzzer. Now we can just get the hell over this. It's 1 point. It's nice.
I mean,
point.
Like, ever
even
again,
number.
No more halfies?
This will never happen again unless okay. I want to do 0.375 and have a calculator next to me.
Okay.
So you need the next two in order to win. You're 1-3 somehow.
Mm-hmm.
Here's okay. Bills head coach Sean McDermott. I want you to guess what he said of why he's in favor of banning the tush push. This one is 24 seconds long.
Wow.
Guess what the Bills head coach Sean McDermott had to say.
So he's in favor of banning it, huh? That sounds like there's a few guys that are kind of looking around the room and being like, are you in favor? Are you in favor? More details on that for you shortly, as well as a Christmas Day 2025 update regarding the NFL. It's just a play that it's not a football play. It's not rooted in football. It's something that we can try to practice and we could try to execute. But, you know, at the end, it's not a football play, football run, football pass. This is not something that we have. And it garners too much advantage to one side of the ball. And it's not something you want to see at the line of scrimmage.
Where I'm most concerned is, even safety. Though there's not significant data out there to this point, my biggest concern is the health and safety of the players, first and foremost. It's two things. It's force, added force, number one, and then the posture of the players, you know, being asked to execute that type of play, that's where my concern comes in.
You are so lucky you snuck in that safety the second he said his first word.
Oh, you're giving it to me?
I am. You should not have gotten it. But when you scream safety, and then he goes on to talk 23 seconds about safety, I'll give you the point.
Plus, do you know what that's like? That's like sometimes I'll think something's going to happen in a game, but then like I'll think like, oh, the Ravens are going to lose. But then they come out in like the all-black uniforms, and they're at home, and I'm like, oh, my God. They're going to win this game by 20. Like, right when you see the uniform, the cadence in McDermott's voice is like, oh, God, this is all safety, man. Same thing.
Again, tie goes to the runner. He just slid right underneath that tag there. All right, so somehow, with fractional points and all, you are 2-4. You need this one to win the game. So it all rests on the vocal cords of Jameis Winston.
Oh, no.
I want you to guess what he had to say and his reasoning for signing with the Nye Giants. This one is 18 seconds long. Good luck.
It's got to be something about getting those W's. Maybe he's even funny and says, no one else wanted me. It's New York City. It's the Big Apple. It's the city of winners. This is, I want to be a winner. We want to come and win Big Blue. We want to win. We want to dominate. A lot of history here. LT and Eli. You can be one of the greats. You can go down in one of these cities and just be, you know, a needle in a haystack, or you can come to New York and be one of the greats. City that never sleeps.
The interest that brought me to New York was the fact that there was a quarterback room that they were looking to get better and making the difference in, and I saw that window opportunity open. But just the fact that the Big Apple is the biggest city in the world with the greatest fans in the world as well to create some popularity, that didn't hurt.
I think I get that one.
Excuse me while I consult the oracles here, the Secret Council of Judges. And Bart, out of an 18-second clip where I asked you to guess what Jameis Winston's reasoning for signing with the Nye Giants, you went with 18 seconds of New York. That is factually incorrect. He went exactly 9 seconds of talking about New York and 9 seconds talking about the build of the quarterback room.
No.
Therefore, the official ruling is...
No. No.
2.5 points are your total. You neither win nor lose. Guess what they said?
No.
And that's guess what they said.
Oh, my God. Oh, man.
So we can do this one of two ways. We can close out the way I just did right there, or...
You get nothing. You lose.
All right, but we're in agreement. Never again with the half points.
Absolutely not. But at this point, when you get half an answer right, and I can basically put it down to a fine science. He spent 9 seconds talking about the city out of an 18-second clip.
Yeah, but the fact that I knew he would do that is huge. Who's in on Friday? I need an easier judge.
Ray Jarvis, and I'm going to instruct him to be as fair and impartial as possible. Or maybe I call in from Wrigleyville and one of the fine drinking holes that they have down there.
Oh, God, what's a segment going to sound like on Friday after I drive down, spend a day in Chicago, drive back, do a show?
What's it going to sound like after 12 Goose Island IPAs for me?
Yeah, we will find out. Right now, let's get an update. Here's Marco Belletti. Moments ago, you just heard from Sean McDermott talking about the tush push and the possible banning of it. Well, there is an owners' meeting going on right now, and they discussed it today. The coaches, GMs, other officials, and the meeting was interesting. Hotly contested is the phrase that Kaylin Kaler cites from ESPN, according to her sources. They're going to vote on this Tuesday morning. And what we knew coming into the owners' meeting was that the Green Bay Packers said, hey, let's ban this thing. And then everybody said, oh, because you're 0-3 against the Eagles in the last 2 years. Yeah, that's why. That is why. You're right. You're right. The Packers have long been an organization that if they can't beat somebody out of three times, they try to change the rules. Yeah, morons! Come on! That's not why. We, as Packers, wait for a fourth time before we change the rules. But apparently, there's more teams that are like down with a change. Like, yeah, I don't like it. People get hurt. Something needs to be done. 75%, that'd be 24 of the teams would have to say, yes, we're going to ban it. I don't feel like it's going to get banned. That's a lot. Do 3 out of every 4 teams want it banned? I don't know that 3 out of every 4 teams care enough to have it banned. I think there might be a little bit of, let's not do anything rash. Let's maybe wait a year and see. But you could get 12, 15, 18 teams that would say they want to ban it. But the reports out of the league meetings in West Palm Beach, Florida, are that there is more momentum and more movement on the banning of the tush push than maybe it was being thought there would be. And so we will find out this week if we're going to have a tush push or not. Should be very interesting. Again, I still feel like it survives, but I think the vote might be a little closer than what was being anticipated. Some news coming out of the owners' meeting as well regarding scheduling. First of all, the Thursday night football schedule flexibility, it was 28 days. You needed a month to look ahead at a game and say, we're gonna change that game on a Sunday to a Thursday. Well, now it's down to 21 days. I don't like it. Flex scheduling Sunday games to Sunday night, fine. Flexing them to a Monday, tough. Scheduling to a Thursday, there's a lot of people that have tried to go to these games or had tickets or want to go to these games, and then the game gets moved and then they can't. But the NFL doesn't care because there's a lot more people that will then watch the better game on TV. And that is the case with Christmas Day. Last year, LeBron James beat the Warriors on Christmas Day, said, this is our day. That was a game that 7.7 million people watched. Oh, the NBA had a good Christmas Day last year. Nuggets and Suns, 4 million people. T-Wolves, Mavs, 4.5. 5 million watch Knicks Spurs. 5 million watch Sixers Celtics. And nearly 8 million people watch Lakers Warriors. NBA had a good Christmas last year. But then 24 million people each watch the Chiefs and Steelers and Ravens and Texans. And if you remember anything about those games, they were horrid. What did the Ravens won, like 31-2 or something? They were not great football games. But the NFL can at least triple. Yeah, it was 31-2. They can triple those ratings. So this year, Christmas Day is going to fall on a Thursday. Christmas Day is going to fall on a Thursday. And the NFL says, okay, well, then what we're going to do is, you know how we have three games on Thanksgiving, which is a Thursday. We're going to have three games on Christmas, which is a Thursday. So last year they were on a Wednesday and there were two games and it was weird. And this year it's going to be on a Thursday. So they're having three games. Well, who is going to air these games? Because keep in mind, Thanksgiving, that's the broadcast networks. Those are the networks that have been tried and true, and they've gone through it with the NFL. CBS had that NFC package for a long time, lost it, got the AFC. Fox burst onto the scene in the early 90s and have had the NFL ever since. NBC losing the AFC package, waiting forever, and then coming back with a very prestigious Sunday Night Football. And that's your Thanksgiving lineup. Well, on Christmas, Game 1 will be on Netflix again. Game 2 will be on Netflix again. And then Game 3 will be on Amazon. So you'll just need to change the app rather than the channel. The Christmas Day games, I don't think, are the worst thing in the world. I mean, you don't have to watch them. And for some people, if you have like nothing to do on Christmas, if you're in a city that you're alone, or you know, some family have passed and Christmas is actually a rough day, having the NFL on it is kind of good. It sucks that they just like murdered the NBA right in the chest, but that is what they decided to do. We will be back tomorrow. I want to thank Carlos Ortiz. I want to thank Marco Belletti. We'll have some caller fold tomorrow. We'll talk more about the owners meeting and catch you up on everything in the world of baseball. Until then, enjoy the evening. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.